Well, welcome to Resurrection Sunday, or as we also now know as Easter Sunday. I want to start by sharing with you about a movie that was released in 2016. I don't know if some of you may recall this movie, but it's probably one of my most favorite movies when it comes to the resurrection story. The movie Risen Here was released, as I said, in 2016, which narrates the account of the resurrection as told through the eyes of Clavius, a fictional military tribune, which is basically like a general, and his aide Lucius, who were tasked with solving the mystery of what happened to Jesus following the crucifixion. In fact, he's charged by Pontius Pilate to disprove the rumors of a risen Messiah and prevent an uprising in Jerusalem. My favorite scene in that movie is when Clavius interviews the different folks who had an encounter with Jesus. It is probably one of the best scenes in the whole movie, because he's interviewing, like I said, different people. And eventually he interviews Bartholomew. And Bartholomew is just so giddy with the news that Jesus' body is not in the tomb. Like, he's just ecstatic. And Clavius is like, okay, dude, there's something wrong with you. Like, you're just a little too crazy here. But yeah, it really is one of my favorite scenes. As the movie progresses, what you find is that Clavius starts to turn from being a skeptic to a seeker. He's an encounter with the risen Jesus, but doesn't quite believe what he's seeing and experiencing. It's when the movie concludes that you learn that Clavius is actually in an inn, and he's recounting his experience to the innkeeper. And he's no longer this proud and powerful soldier, having shed his armor and all the emblems that signify his status and stature. He ends up paying the innkeeper with his signet ring, which is a very important thing, because that's basically how he was able to, with the signet ring, gave him this authority to lead his soldiers and to sign certain documents. So it's a very important piece of jewelry. But it's the very last thing that reminds him of his former life. The movie concludes that he's not 100% convinced of who Jesus is, but he knows that his life will never be the same. Well, as the passage that Mary read this morning, definitely the disciples and the women who were there at the tomb, as well as the guards, definitely realized their life would never be the same. As the scripture narrates for us, it's at dawn on the first day of the week, which is the Sunday, several women went to the tomb of Jesus, this being Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, which is his mom. They knew where the Lord had been laid, because they had seen Joseph and Nicodemus roll the stone over the tomb. The women were returning to the tomb on that day, that morning, now that the Sabbath was over, and they were expecting to anoint Jesus' body for burial. Instead, they're greeted by an angel who had a special message for them. And any time that you read in Scripture where there's an account of an angel, you know something special is about to happen. There is some special message that is coming from God to the people to whom this angel appeared. And he announces the fact of the resurrection. He invites them into the tomb to look and see and and realize that the one that they were seeking was no longer there. He had risen, just as he said. He had told them several times he would rise on the third day. You read this, Matthew 16, 21, 17, 23, 20, verse 19. Now, this was also a very different experience for the soldiers who were expecting a quiet night guarding the tomb. I mean, seriously, how exciting could it really be to just be hanging outside the tomb and just watching? In the movie, actually, they describe this scene where these two guards are so bored that they end up actually drinking and as a result actually fell asleep. But we're not really sure that's what happened. But we do know that they did experience something supernatural. That there was a violent earthquake, and then an angel came from heaven and rolled away the tomb from the door. The Roman soldiers guarding the tomb were so frightened by the angel that they shook and apparently fainted. And then the angel told the Marys to go quickly and tell the disciples that he had risen from the dead and would be going ahead of them into Galilee, just as he had said. The women immediately obeyed the angel's instructions, for they hurried away from the tomb, intending to find the disciples and tell them the good news. But the passage says that they were both filled with joy over the fact of the resurrection, but they were also fearful of how the disciples would react. What were, you think, the expectations of the disciples? Anybody? As you can see, they had returned to Galilee. The rabbi to whom they had entrusted and followed had now been hung on a cross. So it's over. The game is over. Basically, it didn't come to anything. But then here, these women were going to come and they were going to tell the disciples what had happened when suddenly Jesus met them. They were expecting to find his body, but here is Jesus in the flesh. He is alive. Can you say hallelujah? He's alive. He's alive. And hearing his greeting, they recognized him immediately and they fell at his feet and worshipped him. By his appearance, Jesus alleviated their fears and repeated the same message that the angel had given them. Do not be afraid. He then told them to tell the disciples to go to Galilee. So why do you think? Why Galilee? Because that's where the ministry of the prominence of in Matthew's account is all in Galilee, and and that's where disciples had returned. Some of you may have heard of the author or the apologist Lee Strobel. Do you guys know that name? Some of us, yeah. When he was researching the resurrection, he ended up writing a book entitled The Case for Christ. But later on, he wrote another follow-up book entitled The Case for the Real Jesus. And here again, the issue of Jesus' resurrection was still debated, even in 2007 when the book was published. At the time the book was written, a documentary entitled The Lost Tomb of Jesus was produced by James Cameron and Simcha Jakovici. And they was aired on the Discovery Channel, which they claimed they had found and identified the remains of Jesus in what was now known as the Talpiot Tomb. Essentially, the evidence they had was an ossuary or a bone box, and on it, it had the inscription, Jesus, son of Joseph. And so it was determined that together with all the other bone boxes in this tomb, that this had to be the family tomb of Joseph. And it created this huge fanfare. It created all this debate about whether or not this was really true, that this really was the tomb of Jesus. It was later determined by archaeologists and Bible scholars that the claim was actually false. And so the search continues today for Jesus' tomb and body. As I mentioned, Lee Strobel himself, an investigative journalist and lawyer, was once skeptical of the claims about Jesus' resurrection, which launched him into an exploration and research of Jesus, his birth, life, ministry, death, and the resurrection. And in the end, Strobel himself concluded the resurrection was true, and now has become one of the most well-known Christian apologists. See, the issue at hand for us today, and continues to be, is that the resurrection defies our expectations of God and Jesus. It is impossible for a person who had died to be brought back to life, especially one who had laid in a tomb for 3 days. But this is not a modern debate. One that has been happening since the beginning of Christianity. The Apostle Paul addresses the resurrection of Jesus in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 15 to 20. You can see that even in the Corinthian church, there was skepticism, there were debates and arguments and questions and doubts over the resurrection of Christ. And he writes this: "We are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. And those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." Essentially, what's happening here in this passage, Paul is making a logical argument, going through a series of logical statements to basically affirm the purpose and the reason for the resurrection. For if we're not for the resurrection, then our faith would be false. And so then he goes on to say, if it all truly was false and it really didn't happen, then he goes on to say this in verse 30 to 33, and this is from the Message, which I think really captures what he was feeling. "Why do you think," he says, "I keep risking my neck in this dangerous work? I look death in the face practically every day I live. Do you think I'd do this if I wasn't convinced of the resurrection and your resurrection and mine as guaranteed by the resurrected Messiah Jesus? Do you think I was just trying to act heroic when I fought the wild beasts at Ephesus, hoping it wouldn't be the end of me?" Eugene Peterson has such a way with words. "Not on your life," he says. "It's resurrection, resurrection, always resurrection that undergirds what I do and say and the way I live. If there's no resurrection, we eat, we drink, and the next day we die. And that's all there is to it. Don't fool yourselves. Don't let yourselves be poisoned by this anti-resurrection loose talk." Paul had this fervor and intense commitment because of his encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus. But it does not take a supernatural event to convince us of the authenticity of Jesus and his resurrection. Anyone who has an encounter with Jesus through the reading of Scripture, or even experience unconditional love, mercy, forgiveness as lived out by his body, the church, which is who we are, will always come away different. As Jesus said on the night he was betrayed, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another, and by this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." People who live out Jesus' command, his disciples, are the best evidence of Jesus' validity. The debates surrounding Jesus' resurrection are and will continue. But Jesus says, do not be afraid. Place your trust in me. In fact, come seek me, and you will find me. I think we all have expectations of Jesus. And some would say great expectations of Jesus. But often, Jesus defies those expectations. And we need to ask ourselves, what are the motivations that are behind our expectations of Jesus? Well, this morning, we have the privilege of listening to two attendees, members of our church, and I'm going to invite them to come forward. Being able to hear the stories of lives who are transformed by Jesus, by their encounter with Jesus, is truly uplifting. And on this day, especially being Resurrection Sunday, that we are privileged to hear their stories of how they came to know Christ